Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Today, we're talking about margin or lack thereof in the next generation. And to kick us off, Tim, I have actually noticed the most fascinating phenomenon, okay? And I want to tell you about it.
Okay.
But first, I want to ask a question.
All right.
If you think back, way back to when you were in middle high school and you woke up in the morning, what were some of the first things that you did when you woke up in the morning?
Oh, gosh. Well, early on, I think I checked the box scores of the baseball. I lived in Cincinnati, Ohio
early on.
So I was checking the Cincinnati Reds.
Following the Reds.
Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Tony Perez, Joe Morgan. And I would look at, you know, how many hits, who won the game. I would read the box scores to my mother. And bless her heart, she had to listen to this nonsensical.
She was probably not as interested
as
you were.
That's true. But that was my if the Reds won, I had a good day. If the Reds lost, a not so good day. But that was my life.
And you can still remember some of those stats.
I can.
That's fascinating.
I do.
How
about
stuff,
you?
What, man, I was probably eating cereal and watching cartoons. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember the shows used to come out in the morning, but I was watching TV or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, here's the reason I bring this up. I've had several fascinating conversations with students recently about their morning routines.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about the morning routines of a kid growing up in 2019, for instance, you probably would think, well, they must be on social media.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
But you know, what shocked me is how many kids I have met for whom the very first thing they do before they get out of bed, before they do anything else, is they open their phone and they go and get to the app that tells them where their grades are at.
Oh,
what they're looking for specifically is teachers who have been grading papers at night and turned in and started putting scores in, and the students can get live, instant updates to see where their grades are.
Wow.
Especially those really high-ranking kids who want to see where they're at with class rank and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you sort of merge that concept of I'm getting live, instant updates with my grades, I'm also getting live, instant updates about where I stand socially as well, right?
Yeah.
Who has the most followers? Who has the most likes, who has the longest Snapchat streak, all that stuff. And it's just fascinating to me thinking about the difference between even I went to high school starting in 2003, right? It really, in the grand scheme of history, it was not that long ago, you know?
Yeah.
But how different the morning routine is of a kid today versus one who, you know, grew up a little over a decade ago. It's just a reminder to me of this issue of margin. Because when I am overwhelmed with all that stuff coming at me, what it does is it makes me think, how do I make the most of my time? How do I get, you know, half a grade point better or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And we see so many kids who are in that frame of mind all the time.
So it's very possible, given the scenario you just mentioned, that they're checking themselves academically and checking themselves social media-wise.
Yeah.
That they might be stressed out starting the day.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of
the day. I
didn't
even get out of bed and I'm stressed. Oh, man, I fell behind or whatever it is.
Yeah. Wow. So we have the undeserved privilege of meeting and interviewing and working with many great school administrators around the country.
Yeah.
One of our favorites is a man by the name of Gary Davison.
Yes.
Who is the principal of Lambert High School in Forsyth County, just north of Atlanta, Georgia. Gary has become a good friend, and I want to use him as a case study today. Gary would be the first to tell you he's not perfect and the school is not perfect, but he's seen some great turnarounds in stress levels, really on both his students, the student body, but also staff and faculty.
Wow, yeah.
So
there's a lot of stress going on in the adult generation,
no
too.
No doubt about it. So he made some moves a few years ago that really turned things around, and I'd love, if you don't mind, to center the conversation around the steps he took that maybe could be applied by our listeners.
There's things that we can all learn. And by the way, he's the principal of a high school. That does not mean folks who are leading high school students are the only people who are going to get something from this. The things that he's doing have application in a wide variety of scenarios.
Yeah, at home with parents, on athletic fields with coaches, even in workplaces.
Yes.
There's work to be done, but there's ways that we can create margin for the employees, I think.
Well, let's use him as a case study and talk about it.
All right. So once again, Gary Davison, he's the principal of Lambert High School. He was noticing a few years back, we talked about this, in fact, the rise in stress and anxiety levels in his students and decided he was going to think outside the box.
Okay.
In other words, rather than just working with the given routine he had, he was going to change up that routine if he could.
Yeah.
Now, it's a public high school, so you can't just say, we're going to start at 9:30 instead of
7:30. Yeah, yeah. Not everything's in your control.
That's right. But he took the things that were variables that he could control, and he said, we're gonna make some changes. When he began to talk to his students, he started to find out that their stress levels were high because they had demands on both sides of their day.
Mm.
Now, think about this just a minute.
Okay.
You mentioned they're checking their test scores and their social media standing. Well, part of the problem was teenagers need more sleep than at any point in their life, except for maybe my age, where I'm aging out here. But they need rest. Well, they're not getting rest. They're staying up late and still getting up early right during adolescence when they really need less. So they have a very little margin at the beginning of their day, maybe starting with stress. And then once the day's over, oh my gosh, there's soccer practice, there's homework to be done, there's extracurricular activities to participate in. You can imagine kids are doing 18 things. So just pause and reflect on this reality. If I'm loaded up at the beginning with stress sources and I'm loaded up at the end with no margin, with things I like maybe, but I don't have a break, this is not creating a good mental health state for this teenager. So Gary thought, I got to find a way to create some margin.
That's really good.
Yeah. So the problem could be summarized this way, and I think this is hopefully a helpful, catchy way to say it. Gary was going to try to help both his staff and faculty and his students keep up and catch up. Keep up and catch up.
I like this.
Yeah.
So when you say keep up, you're referring to...
They're already doing okay, but it's a fast pace. I want to be able to stay on top of things. I want to keep up with the pace of all the activities of my day.
Because one bad day could lead to a
problem.
I'm way
behind now.
Yeah.
And then often many kids are trying to catch up, and staff.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to catch up. I'm behind now with a science project, with a paper. Oh, my football team is traveling this weekend. So all kinds of things can put them in a place where they need to catch up, and
that's
they're not.
Great. Yeah. That's great. And that's honestly the two mentalities that we're probably working with students. Anybody who's working with these young people, they need to keep both of these mentalities in mind.
So let me just tell you, noticing these stress levels that Gary was noticing, here's what he said, and I'm going to read a direct quote. So Gary told me, we had 7 class periods in our day, but we decided to restructure it to give an extra hour just to catch up. So the school shaved a bit of time off of the normal schedule to create an 8th period right in the middle of the day during lunch, and they call it lunch and learn.
Love it.
So half the student body has lunch the first portion of that midday period, and the other half has it the second. So about 1,500 students per half.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big school, 3,000 students.
Yeah.
So 1,500 first half, get them in, get them out. Second half, another 1,500 students. But you can imagine that students have something else to do besides eat lunch if they're on the off period.
Yeah.
So the 8th period is in the middle, not at the end.
Mm.
And now we've got this place where we have a little bit of margin besides eating food.
Perhaps because of what we've been talking about, the only time lots of these students will have margin at all.
Yeah. So during this longer period, students eat, but they have time to get support if they need it. Where they can go to, they can go to the media center and meet with faculty specialists on any subject.
Okay.
So there's math folks, there's literature folks, there's science folks. Every specialty, he called it, has a faculty member, and they take turns. But he said, I was blown away. He said the faculty actually kind of enjoyed it because it's mentoring and coaching. It's not teaching a lesson plan.
Yeah.
They meet with Todd or Jessica, and they're, where do you need help? Oh, I don't get this or that. And they get to speak to it.
It's also that phenomenon that we talk about of students learning on a need-to-know basis, right?
Yes.
If the student is directing themselves to the media center, going to the math teacher and saying, I need help, that math teacher who spends a lot of time corralling students who don't want to be there, this is like, I've got a student in front of me who's desiring for me to teach them something. That's got to be a good feeling for a teacher.
It's no doubt about it. So I just want everybody listening to get the picture. So students who've fallen behind or need to make up a test can catch up. But then, get this, if students have not fallen behind, it's simply a time for them to relax and experience margin in their day. So they might eat lunch that first half, but the second half, they can do all kinds of things. For instance, they can get homework done so they don't have to do it at 10 o'clock after football practice and, all the other stuff they have going on. They can start projects or outline papers. And I love this, Andrew. Additionally, Gary at Lambert High School has therapy dogs. Many other schools do this too.
That's cool.
But students can just pet a dog and play with it. And that's just, there's something about a dog. You and I both have dogs.
Yeah.
It just, when I come home to Sadie, our little Morky, I don't care what kind of a day I've had. Sadie's having a great day, and she's so happy to meet me. I actually am a wonderful person after all, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm actually seeing, this is a side, but I'm seeing an uptick in the number of emotional support animals that I see in the airport.
Because
I think this is a growing trend where people are saying, this critter helps me, you know, in so many ways in my emotional health. So
I'm laughing because a few years ago, I got on a plane, and a woman got on plane with a duck. I'm not kidding.
It was an emotional support.
That was emotional support, and she had a note. And so, because I'm sure the flight attendant said, "Seriously, a duck is going to give you support." And I'm sure somebody said, "How are you going to pay for that?" And she said, "Put it on my bill."
Oh my god!
I'm so sorry.
I thought you were going to make a joke about how this is the duck's first flight or something like that.
I'm so sorry. I just deviated from this terribly intense conversation.
You did. You did. But it's good.
All right. So I love the fact that all kinds of kids get help. The kids that don't need to catch up, they're just going to keep up.
Yeah.
But they're just getting some just emotional rest.
Yeah.
That they desperately need in our day and age. So can I hear, listeners, here's how I want to nutshell it for you. Some kids need mentors. Some kids need margin. Say it again. Some kids need mentors. Some kids need margin. In both ways, Gary has met that need.
Yeah. And by the way, both things are ways to reduce stress.
Yeah.
Right?
No doubt about
it. If I'm stressed out about school, I need a mentor who's going to come along, help give me some direction and some clarity.
Yeah.
If I'm overwhelmed by all my stuff, but I'm keeping up with it, it's just overwhelming. I need a little margin, you know?
That's right.
Both are really great techniques to actually reduce stress.
Yeah. So listeners, you might be asking yourself, well, has this lunch and learn period actually helped? Is there any data? Absolutely. So Gary told me recently that he's noticed the stress levels on campus have diminished measurably over the last 4 years since they restructured their days. And in addition, the social-emotional health of the staff and faculty have improved as well. So that 25-year-old teacher that's just been teaching for 3 years also is a little stressed out because it's not easy to be a teacher. But everybody's doing better socially and emotionally on the campus.
See, that's fascinating to me because I think if there was a principal listening right now, one of the things they might be thinking is, if I restructured our school day, my teachers would get totally overwhelmed by that idea.
Yeah.
Either that's trying to fit more into the average day or whatever it is, but it's fascinating to hear. The restructure is actually causing less stress, not more, even for the staff and faculty.
And one of the reasons for that is this. Listen to this. Drum roll, please. Thank you. The data that Gary gathered shows that the failure rates of students have dropped 160%.
Insane.
So the teacher feels better. Students are doing better. You know, I get stressed if my students are failing. And then the students, of course, are doing better. So dropping 160% can change the culture on a campus. It's a win for the school. It's a win for the staff. It's a win for the students. And it didn't cost a nickel. And by the way, I think the parents are winning too. Here's what he told me just this morning. We were talking. He and I were together at a committee. Gary said they had to take a little time off for about a month from this lunch and learn thing. He said, I started getting calls from parents. You need to reinstigate that. What are you doing? He said, well, we're painting in the media center, you know. But the parents were saying, you better put that back in.
Yeah.
Because we're not surviving very well without this configured school day.
Wow.
I know.
That's fascinating. Cool. Yep. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, really obviously we love the efforts that Gary has made with his staff and his school. But obviously one of my favorite things about you, Tim, is that you can take what can typically be complex and actually sort of simplify it for us all to get a nugget to walk away with. And so when you were talking with him, you were actually able to condense what he's been doing down to seven different ideas that he's following that are basically helping him succeed.
Yeah. As I watch that school, I think there's seven ideas, seven steps that we can all take. And by the way, if you're an educator, this works elementary, middle, or high school. If you're a parent or a coach or whatever, I think you can translate these principles and steps into your own life as well. So seven steps, here we go. Number one, I think it really needs to begin with you, listener, assessing and determining your most important priorities.
Mm.
So here's how it worked for Gary. Gary decided it was more important to enable kids to learn and for him to improve the social and emotional climate of his school than to do business as usual. He got very clear on what was more important than maintaining the status quo. Mm-hmm. Now, he wanted test scores to be high. He wanted grades to be good. But he thought, I got to deal with this mental health issue.
Yeah.
And we think that maybe the other stats will take care of themselves. And they did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's something that we're seeing in a lot of schools, right? Yeah. And it's the thing that I'm constantly talking about. If the soft skills are not developed or if they're lacking in any capacity, the hard skills don't ultimately get developed either. And so Gary was realizing the prioritization of what needs to go on in the school, it just needs to shift in the 21st century. We need to acknowledge that changing reality.
Well, Andrew, isn't it rewarding for us as a nonprofit organization that partners with schools to see so many principals even now using our Habitudes for Social-Emotional Learning?
Yeah.
So the SEL curriculum, done with images, which start great conversations, are now being used. But it's really what Gary has done. The social-emotional learning has impacted both, and it's just a conversation that happens on a regular basis that's not academic. It is real life. It's just true life.
Yeah. And in fact, I think so many schools are resonating with it. It went from sort of a new offering from us to one of the top things that people actually partner with us in. And that transformation was because of, I think, the need that a lot of schools are experiencing
no
in
doubt
this
about
area.
It. Yep. All right, so that's step number one. The second step that Gary took was to rethink his assumptions.
Hmm.
So step for you listeners, step two is rethink your assumptions. Let me tell you what I mean. I mentioned earlier that Gary thought outside the box. School days always have seven periods, but he reconfigured the time slots and was able to find more time to meet a need. So once we kick over our sacred cows, it's amazing what we can accomplish. So I don't know if you're in a public school setting or if you're a parent of a kid that goes to public school, but I think you need to not assume it has to be this way. He came up with a whole new way to reconfigure, shaving a few minutes off of each of the other periods and found a whole nother chunk of time to relieve the stress. That's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Yep.
Are you suggesting our listeners go sacred cow tipping?
Yes. There you go. You would understand that where you grew up, wouldn't you? You had deer, cow, every.
Yeah, I don't think I ever went cow.
Okay.
How dare you assume things
I'm
about
so
Tennessee?
Sorry.
I can't believe you.
I'm so sorry about that. I apologize. I withdraw that comment.
I knew many people who went cow tipping, so yeah. I wish we could say we lived above the expectations of the rest of the country, but we didn't. It's still Tennessee.
Okay, number three. The third step Gary took is summarized this way. Use what you already have.
Mm.
Andrew, I think sometimes we hide behind, don't have budget, don't have cash, our cash flow is awful. Gary told me he simply restructured the resources he already had in his possession. Periods, places, and people. I love this.
Yeah.
Class periods, places, and people.
Yeah.
When leaders are resourceful, they often find they already have the resources they might need right at their disposal. We just need to reconfigure those resources and make them work. And that's what he did.
So he didn't have more time, he didn't get more space, he didn't get more staff.
That's right.
But he was able to still do everything that he needed to do.
That's he repurposed all those three.
I love it.
And made them work. Yeah, love it too. Step four, get buy-in and ask for help. So in Gary's case, as a principal of a high school, his decision didn't require any more money, but it did require him to cast vision to his faculty and staff and get them to invest extra time in students. So instead of them just getting a longer lunch period to goof off in the teacher's lounge, they're doing the lunch the same amount of time, but then they go to the media center if it's their day on, and they're talking about social studies or talking about science or whatever. So he needed to get buy-in. He knew that people support what they help create. Students support what they help create.
Teachers support what they help create.
Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah.
So what he did was, I love this, he connected their aspirations, they all wanted a better school climate, to a little inspiration, and people got on board.
Mm.
So here's your aspiration. We want a better climate. Yeah, we're stressed out. What do we do? So I'm going to inspire you by addressing one of your aspirations. If we do this, we'll get what you want.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, I love that.
That's the best style of leadership.
Yeah.
And we actually even wrote about that in Marching Off the Mat, you remember.
Yes.
Because we acknowledge one of the hardest things is for an administrator or somebody to go back to an institution and get teachers or anyone to buy in. And the way you do it is you connect a problem that they feel, a goal, an aspiration that they have, and you connect it with, if we do this, we will get you what you want.
Yeah.
You know,
better
behaved kids in the classroom, less stress, whatever it is,
find
a way to channel that.
No doubt about it. All right, number five. Step five is this. Find neutral places to achieve your new goals. Find neutral places to achieve your new goals. So in Gary's case, he identified the media center as the right place for staff and teachers and students to gather and connect. Okay, it was a neutral site. It wasn't the social studies room or the math room.
Yeah,
it was a neutral site, and they all knew where it was. And it was a bigger room. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a neutral spot away from the noise, because media centers are usually a little more quiet. We'd say, shh, you know, that sort of thing. All right. And he connected teachers to students, and again, like I said, they're present for every discipline. Rotating as needed. So again, you don't have to be on all the time. It's like the geese in flight. We rotate leaders, and
yep.
So you don't have the full headwind coming at you. You just a little bit of time. And because he's got a pretty good crew, they only have to do this maybe a few times a month. It's not every day. So
okay.
It really is manageable.
Yeah, the shifts aren't bad.
Yes.
That's
yes,
good.
Exactly. All right. Step number six. Enable people to still pursue other priorities. I don't think there would have been any way for Gary to pull this off if he said, no longer do that thing you want. We're going to do this thing you want.
Yep.
I think he would have gotten mixed reviews.
Yep.
So Gary didn't eliminate other class periods. He simply shaved some time and created a new one. Okay. So classes still meet. Sports teams still practice. Bands and actors still rehearse. People need to feel like you value what they value.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not a complete removal of everything you've known.
If your solution to this is to cut some program, you're going to make somebody very unhappy.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's so true. All right, number seven, the final one. Celebrate the outcomes with everyone. I don't do this as well as I need to, and Gary was a good reminder. You got to celebrate any and all progress. Mm. So here's what I learned from Gary. If you notice the numbers that I shared earlier, 160% drop in failure rates among students, stress levels going down. Oh my gosh, those are things to celebrate. So Lambert High School now experiences better social emotional health among staff and faculty, and the failure rates have dropped 160%. Everybody wins, and they all feel it.
Mm.
So the feeling of progress just is everywhere on the school campus. And like I said, if they stop it for a week or two, parents will call
people
in and say,
it,
what are you doing?
And now it's become the culture of the place.
Yeah,
right.
So
this
true.
Is what we are. This is who we, who we are.
Yeah, I love it. So this is just a taste of the Generation Z book, which you mentioned. We try to load this book up with solutions, and this was just one idea that we tried to include.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Tim, so much for that advice that you gave.
Yeah.
If you're listening, if you're saying, this is really good, I want more, we do suggest our brand new book, Generation Z Unfiltered. We're both very excited about this new resource, and the reason we're excited is not just because we worked on it. We're excited because what we're hearing from folks that we're talking to is that it's really, really helping. Mm-hmm. It's touching on the problems that we feel. Yeah. Very much the same way that Gary was trying to solve the problems mm-hmm. that were felt needs in his school. I think we are trying to solve the problems that we have, our felt needs of folks who are leading this generation of young people.
So can I illustrate what you just said?
Yeah, please.
This is a story I think I must have heard decades ago. I don't even know if it's fiction or truth, but it's such a great picture of what we've been trying to say. So the story goes, a dad came home from work one night at dinner time and put his briefcase down. And he had a little five-year-old son who just loved it when dad got home and wanted to play games and mess around. Of course, this particular night, dad was not done with work. He still had stuff to do.
Mm.
So he noticed a newspaper sitting on the carpet in the family room. And he picked it up and he noticed inside there was a full-page ad for a travel agency.
Okay.
And there was a picture of a globe with an airplane flying around the globe. And so he said, son, you see this right here? He said, I'm going to rip this up and make a puzzle. And I want you to put this puzzle together of this world. And once you get it together, I'll play with you. He figured that's going to buy him an hour at least, to get it work done. So he lets his son look at the picture first to get a good look at it. And then he rips it up and puts it there on the carpet. And he walks into the den, starts working. Well, 5 to 10 minutes later, this little boy has the world put together. I mean, the picture of the world's all together.
Wow.
And the dad's blown away. And he goes, son, how'd you do that so fast? I love the wisdom, the Mark Twain wisdom of this little boy. He said, well, Dad, when you showed me the picture of the world, I noticed on the other side of the paper was a picture of a man. And I found out if I got the man right, the world was right.
Mm-hmm.
And as pithy and cliche as that sounds, isn't that true? If we just get our lives right, these kids' lives right, socially and emotionally, the world's going to be a better place. Failure rates are going to drop.
Yeah.
Academic scores are going to go up. We tend to succeed academically, which is what we're measuring, if we help them with their life.
I love it. I love it. It makes me think of our vision statement here at Growing Leaders, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to empower. We've got millions in mind,
yeah.
but we know that in order to reach millions, you got to start with these individual students and these individual. So if you're looking and thinking, I'm just working with a couple students, that does not mean what you're doing doesn't matter. In fact, it matters all the more, right?
It does.
Work with the man. We'll see the world come together.
That's
I love
right.
it. Well, if you want to pick up this brand new resource, Generation Z Unfiltered, you can go to generationzunfiltered.com. It's actually pretty easy to get there. You can also find it on Amazon. We'd love for you to pick up that resource, and hopefully it'll be helpful to you. As always, if you would rate this podcast, that really helps us out. Give us 5 stars, and that lets everyone know about the podcast and what we're talking about and all those kinds of things. Follow us on social media. We love connecting with you there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those are the places where we are. We'd love to connect with you on those places. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for this podcast, things you want us to talk about, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. Love hearing from you. Tim, thank you so much for sharing this case study and giving us such wisdom to apply to our leadership of the next generation. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.